Welcome. Welcome to Lessons from a High School Dropout. My name is Troy Thomas Joseph Fitch, and I want to thank you for taking valuable time out of your day to listen to this podcast. This podcast, like all my messages, are inspired. And I was inspired this week by a wonderful physician whom I had the pleasure to sit next to on a flight from Boston to Charlotte, North Carolina. Ife Osunkwo, I think I can pronounce it correctly, I hope, but Ife is a medical doctor who grew up in Nigeria and the United States, and she had a couple moves back and forth. Due to the climate and different reasons, she grew up in Nigeria and the Bronx, New York City. And she shared how she moved here and she had a desire to become a physician. And her work in becoming a physician was also moved and inspired as well. You see, Ife growing up in Nigeria, they find a lot of people who end up with sickle cell anemia, which I learned about back in the early 80s. And I recall that sickle cell was pretty much what I saw as a death wish for those. And anybody who's encountered cancer is quite frightened by the word, and I think sickle cell has the very, very same, I guess you might say, energy that moves through it. It's a scary, scary thing. And she shared with me, she shared with me a story, pulling back the curtain, that is written in an article that was written about her, probably in a medical magazine or literature somewhere. But she shared with me that I could look up her story. And I began the podcast here just a little bit ago, and I felt inadequate to be able to share and talk about her for some reason. And I turned the podcast recording off, and I quickly ran to grab my phone and open up where she shared Pulling Back the Curtain by Ife Osunkwo. And I immediately began reading, and I felt the tears to come, and I also felt the joy of her breakthroughs and her inspiring medical professionals that lifted her up as she pushed through. But something on the flight that we talked about was she was on her way here to Charlotte, where she once lived and practiced here in the Charlotte area at Levine Cancer Center and down there at the atrium, if you're familiar with Charlotte. And anyhow, her studies began in hematology, but it was not her initial plan. She planned to study asthma and the effects of that, because she struggled with asthma as a young girl. But growing up, she faced a dear friend while she was in her last year of medical school. A dear friend had passed away, and it really troubled her. She went on in the story, and she had four other people that she knew closely who passed away due to sickle cell anemia. And that moved her to focus on being a hematologist and studying the blood, which I love that, because I'm an avid blood giver. And my blood is, just to let you know, a little something so you too can be inspired in spirit, right? Inspired to go give blood. And that is, my blood is cytomegalovirus negative. I was told this about 14 years ago, that my blood is set aside for babies. You see, without having that virus in your blood, and mine being O negative, can go to any baby on the planet. And I'm grateful for that, and I give regularly, and I encourage Every time I get a chance or it's time for me to get blood, I'll say on my podcast, I want to encourage you to give. Giving blood is the gift of life. And I know this personally by my wife's struggle with cancer 11 years ago. And she had to have multiple blood infusions to try and lift her body back up out of the peril that she went through with the chemo and radiation. And so I do want to encourage you to give at this time, because this time of year we have a lot of blood needs, and we've been elevated since the pandemic, and we must continue to grow the blood banks, veins that can come in and help share and bring life to others. But as Iffy shared how her son was going to school here and he was challenged with learning, she told me that he had an autism spectrum disorder, which, you know, any type of challenge that we face in our learning is always can be a difficult thing to overcome emotionally, and a feeling of adequacy, because the inadequacy that we feel can sometimes paralyze us and stop us in our belief that we can, right? And so she told me that, and I said, you know, I, as a young man, I dropped out of school at 17, challenged with my own learning and just kind of fed up and sick and tired of the fact that I just wasn't going to make good grades, and I certainly wasn't going to finish reading The Great Expectations in ninth grade, because I wasn't comprehending anything with all the different characters, and I'm not a literature guy like that. But today, you'll find me recommending books on my podcast that I think are powerful. And I think it's powerful to find these moments where we can share how iron sharpens iron, and how Iffy, when I told her that I was challenged with dyslexia, and I discovered this through National Public Radio listening to Henry Winkler share how his son was dyslexic, and then he found he was dyslexic as well. But one of the common threads that I found that I and Iffy and also Henry Winkler and many of the other dyslexic famous people that are around memorized every darn thing we had to get through, to pass. We memorized, and as she put it, never really got the whole I before E except after C thing, and I still, as a writer today, find myself challenged with this. But it really gave me a lot of solace to know that Iffy was challenged as well. And when she told me she was a medical doctor that had gone through this, you know, and I said, you know, I read an article from United Kingdom about two physicians who were talking about dyslexia, who actually found it so, so difficult sometimes in their studies. But, you know, I also found some things that I want to share with you today that show how this common way of being challenged is where sometimes we make our greatest breakthroughs. I made some notes over here because I wanted to make sure I shared a couple things important here. And, you know, one of the things that I want to talk about is, you know, there's some great minds among us that have come before us who've laid down a few paths. Alfred Adler was an ophthalmologist back in the day. He was an eye doctor. And through his studies and his research, as he struggled with his own vision, he learned that a lot of people who struggle with vision, whether it's the blur or just whatever in sight, they became more inclined to do things with their vision and overcome that challenge that they had. And often many of them become artists and people with creative design, like an architect or something like that. And on the other hand, he also found that some who have challenges with hearing become musicians, of all things, musicians. But it doesn't mean I'm not saying if you're tone deaf, you should go out and try and play the piano. I'm just saying that what we find is those, what you call maybe avocations, right? Things that you do that you may not earn anything from, you may find ways that you may turn that avocation into a vocation through the learning process, and it will provide you income. Now, I know some rockers in my day that I grew up with, and they still share their music, they still share that gift, and they do it through the joy. They have professions, but they still share that gift. But that the gift that they hold is a breakthrough key to their success. So sometimes in our work that we love to do, as Iffy said in her beautiful story, pulling back the curtain, she loves her work, but she also loves to have that quiet space. Like my office here is my quiet space, where I get up very early, 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, to get my quiet time and read. And inspired by the quietness, and in my writing and in my sharing the beautiful stories of my life that God has given me. These are all inspired talks. Let's talk about Thomas Edison. You know, Thomas Edison was once labeled a student who is incapable of learning, and they actually called him totally addled, was one of the writings I researched on Thomas Edison. I'm a big researcher on some of the great minds, because I think inside some of these great minds, you'll find these very challenges. Henry Ford said he wanted the 8-cylinder engine. For over 2 years, he had multiple engineers saying, "It can't be done, Mr. Ford, it can't be done. We might as well scrap it." He says, "I will have it. I will have it. Keep on it and put more men on it," he said. You know, it's the power of belief and a desire. It's that inspiration, that inspired in spirit inspiration that we get from those great minds who push through in spite of all the challenges. Now, I want to move on to something else that I have here, is that, you know, most people wouldn't think that I have any challenges of feeling inferior and inadequate because of my ability to communicate with the way it is today. But you know, in 1989, when I got my first opportunity to become an outside salesperson, I was selling printing, commercial offset printing, I found myself frozen to a phone, a little desk phone that you had to push the buttons and call at a desk in North Dallas. And I was having Lori, the person who ran the office there in the company that I worked for, a small company, I said, "Will you listen to me? Tell me how I'm doing." She couldn't give me a critique. She was too nice. I told her, I says, "Look, it's okay. You can just tell me what you think. I know I sound like an idiot." But you know, to be frozen to a phone after working so hard to get to this opportunity that you've been given, sometimes those challenges become our greatest breakthroughs, because I can tell you right now, I'm darn good on the phone. I'm probably better on the phone than I am in person. I don't know. But I can tell you this. We all have these feelings of inadequacy. We all have these feelings that I don't know if I can continue and push on. Look, I flip over numbers. I turn around letters. I do it all just like if you shared on the flight. And you may be challenged with a few things too, but I can tell you right now, the things that challenge us in life usually are one of the greatest tools we can ever find. Look to be inspired. Ask to be inspired. You too will find that God will bring things into your life. This is not a religious, when I give this word God, you can call it whatever you want, okay? It's just a label. It's just a name. Because the name, what's the Tao say? It says, the name that can be named is not the name, right? What's in a label? What's in a name? But I'm going to tell you right now, this mighty power that we have before us is moving in and through us. And it's moving people to greater places in their lives. It's moving people together so we can find that our common challenges can bring strength to one another, knowing that I can do me just like Ippy does medicine, right? She does it great. And I can do all that I'm doing in great ways too. And I just want to say thank you to Ify for sharing your beautiful story of pulling back the curtain, because it changed everything I was going to say today. And I thought I was going to be reading some of the stuff that I had written to try and say it well, and I only read a few lines off the chart over here, and everything over on this monitor, and everything written down. Well, I will read this. I want to say this by Thomas Merton. You can look him up. Thomas Merton puts it this way. A humble person can do great things with an uncommon perfection, because he or she is no longer concerned about accidentals like his own interest, his own reputation, and therefore he no longer needs to waste his efforts in defending them. That's all I have for you today. But I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to whatever you celebrate. I embrace it all. I love you and thank you for tuning in. Please like and share. Share as much as you desire. It's all greatly appreciated on my efforts here. God bless you. Cheers. Ciao for now.